Last call to get yourselves ready.
I just finished my drink. Shit, hang on. I started at 5 o'clock thinking we were going at five. So hang on.
Excellent. That's why we have the...
The last call.
Get ready. Last call. Yeah, yeah. We should have a bell. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast, episode number 56, for 1 week before Hallows Eve, I believe, just about 1 week and a day. I am Fraser. I'm joined on my left by Dave.
Hello.
I'm joined on my right by Neil.
Hello.
And then, I don't want to say bringing up the rear, where to position, how do you position this man? I don't know.
Front and center.
Like some king's chair, regal chair off to the side.
Stop it.
We are joined by my very good friend and podcasting soul father.
Unbelievable.
Steve from Game Punkers.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you. What an honor.
How are you, mate? All right?
I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't expecting that. That was great. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. If it gets so much better, I don't think I can take it.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure.
It's unlikely.
Yeah. We know where we're at. We're under no illusions here. Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm not sure how many people have crossed over from I don't know how many of the four people who listen to this.
I was going to say all three of them, maybe.
listened to Game Punchers. But probably most of them listen to Game Punchers. Still,
yeah, going. It's a little bit present.
I listened to a couple the other week. Was it this week?
There you go.
We don't do ones anymore. We just do twos, apparently.
Yeah. So, well, to set the scene for anyone who doesn't know, so when I was looking, I was desperate to be on a gaming podcast back many moons ago.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Desperate.
So that was 2013, and I really wanted to do a gaming podcast. So I approached Game Punch. I don't even remember how on earth I found you.
Well, I don't know how you found us, but I had this thing going on where I had another co-host. Oh, no, it was me and John. That's right. And I had this stupid idea that we could just open a third chair to whoever wanted to be on, but they'd have to come to us. Like, we wouldn't go looking, right?
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, I get an email from you. Like, hey, the show's great. Can I be on it? I was like, absolutely. Come on in. You can be the third co-host. Like, but it really worked out.
Yeah, it was a few weeks.
You could have been shit.
And then I got the chair. Yeah, but I really... It could have been.
No comment.
Could have been. But you weren't.
And yeah, it was good. Good times. Yeah. And so we just recorded an episode last week, didn't we? A monster.
We did. Oh, it was huge. Yeah. And it took twice as long to edit, too.
Yeah.
Games of the generation.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun doing that one. So I definitely recommend anyone go check that out. Mm. Yeah. So did you get on many other podcasts these days?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
This is what we call conversation.
About me? Thanks. I mean, you know, I'll try. But oh yeah, no, I'm fighting back offers, beating them off with sticks, if you will.
Did you? Who were our friends? Bullshot, the Bullshot podcast.
Yeah, that ended a long time ago.
Did you ever go on that? I can't remember. Did other people guest on that one?
No. I think. I mean, the closest I got to guesting on there was when they read an email or a tweet that I sent them, right. I think. But that was before we started the show. And then once we started Game Punchers going, I was talking to Jim Plackey there and Fish regularly. And then they came on my show a bunch to help me out.
Yeah.
And then that's how that relationship happened.
Yeah, good. It's been a while, hasn't it? It's interesting.
It's been way too long. I think we started this whole thing in like 2009.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were young men.
Definitely younger. It was a different time, though. Like, nobody knew what the hell they were doing. We were, you know, it was a case of get me a headset with a microphone built in, kind of what I'm doing now, actually. But like, and then it was, okay, what software do we use? And we were screwing around with Open Broadcast System and all this other stuff. And
it's not sounding much different so far.
No, right. Somehow we managed to shit out an episode every week. And then my co-host kind of started getting a little bit, you know, unreliable, should we say, unreliable. And then, you know, I decided to put on hiatus.
It was. Cat. Yeah. Was that Cat? Yeah.
Cat, God bless her. Yeah, she's a good egg, but.
She's never going to listen to this.
No, never, never, never. Someone actually asked me, how's Kat doing the other day? And I was like, I haven't fucking clowned spunked her in about 10 years. I hope she's doing well. But anyway, yeah, so like after that, then I got into Game Rant stuff, doing freelance, not paid, by the way, writing for Game Rant. And then that's how I met John. And then one time we went, John and I went to, for Game Rant, went to PAX East. And we shared a bedroom, like a hotel room, and we got real fast friends after that. And then we started doing a show together.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The rest is history.
Well, it is. Yeah. You know, how one man can care for another man.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with it.
I wish I could quit, John, but I can't.
Yeah, I could. No. How could you?
Obviously, he's so handsome.
He is very handsome, isn't he?
He's handsome. He's better looking than us.
I know. He's better looking than anyone else I know or hang around with. Bless him.
Yeah, he is. He's a good egg.
Okay, so the format for the show is we, because I know you listen every week, Steve. The format for the show.
I've listened to the last four.
Yes.
Okay. I listened to the last four. And last week, I think I heard a Japan.
That's possible.
I heard a Japan.
It's difficult to give up.
Am I planting seeds, or is it nothing to do with me? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's game punches.
Who
all
knows?
Over, yeah.
No, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
So we'll just kick off first with intros and shout outs. So we have a tweet in, as usual, from our friend Stuart Cullen. It's Stadia, isn't it? I give you the creative director of Stadia, discuss, and could this be a new plan to save the platform? So he's linked to the tweet from Alex Hutchinson, who says, the real truth is the streamers should... I don't know who Alex Hutchinson is. Does anybody know who he is?
He doesn't know who he is either.
He's the creative director of Stadia.
No, he's not.
Oh, he even said that in there.
He had to change that. This is another part of this story. He had to change that on his Twitter bio because he's not for creative director for Stadia. It was some, like... It says SG&E, whoever that is now. It's like a game company.
Okay.
It's sort of under the Stadia umbrella now.
I don't know how important that is, but he says here, the real truth is the streamers should be paying the developers and publishers of the games they stream. They should be buying a license like any real business and paying for the content they use. Discuss.
Okay. I will just...
Dave's straight in there like a dog on a bone. Brilliant, let's go.
It annoyed me, this. They have paid for a license. They've bought the game. Ooh. That's the license.
The grinder rests.
So, so all they've been paid to play, unless they've actually stolen the game to play it, they've bought the license to play it. There's no restrictions on, like there is with films, in that you're not allowed to publicly show it. So,
is that the case? Is that, do you not think they might have a caveat in there now on games saying you can't broadcast it? Or
there's only it's usually in an NDA if you can't broadcast it.
Yeah, which you get if you're playing pre-release or you know, beta versions or alpha versions of games. So no. Sorry.
Okay.
So that's my take on it. I don't know if anyone else has got a take.
Well, I don't know. I was thinking about this in the shower, and it's like, it's cyclical marketing, right? Like, it's like Pokemon kind of invented it, where like the cards sell the movies, sell the action figures, sell the cards, sell the movies. Like, it's the same. They're part of like a big ecosystem now, whether they like it or not. Folks are streaming. and they're streaming the games because they like the games. And if any game companies or publishers know what's good for them, they'll just shut up and let people publicize it for them, right? That's what it's for. So it's it's like a double, it's not a double-edged sword. It's like a double-edged cream cake where they get to enjoy both sides, right? It is. Yeah. So like, you know, the publishers get to enjoy, you know, the folks that see their favorite streamer playing whatever that they wouldn't have heard of otherwise. And then they go and buy that game so they can be part of the thing. And then on the other side, you've got the YouTuber who's, you know, enjoying the revenue because people come to him and they go, oh, he's always got new interesting stuff. So I don't see why they're they can't just complain, oh, we're not getting more of the pie. Go fuck yourself. No.
I think for a discussion, it's good. I'm not sure who this Alex Hutchinson guy is and what he's, what if he has a dog.
He's become much more famous in the last
I'll give you a clue. He says he's the creative director for a game's platform that doesn't create content.
I mean, I just can't see.
There's all sorts of business going on with this, isn't there? Because it turns out his Twitter banner is some fan art that it didn't give credit to the artist for, of a streamer that, of one of his, because he worked on that Journey for the Savage Planet, which was a good game, it's all right. And the guy who, like Jacksepticeye, you must have heard of Jacksepticeye.
Yeah.
A little bit. I have a daughter, so yeah.
Exactly. So he's the guy in this image on his this Alex Hutchinson's Twitter bio, drawn by someone else who then obviously cut off the watermark of the guy who made the art.
Oh my God.
So it was just like, oh my God, stop digging. It's just got
I think the argument and the discussion is interesting. I don't think Alex Hutchinson is interesting.
No, I don't either.
Who the fuck is this guy, right?
He might be this creative director of nothing at all next week.
It's no one really knows. I suppose the companies are stuck between a rock and a hard. Like their noses must be like, how do we monetize this? You know, there's people.
I don't know, because I think, but, like Steve said, most of them know that if a big streamer gets hold of their game and is loving it, then they're going to sell more copies of their game.
I suppose the question is, are there any developers out there who aren't doing that? Nintendo was being a bit shitty, weren't they, recently with YouTube and Takedown.
Well, they don't want anyone doing anything dodgy with their games, do they, basically?
Nintendo's kind of like bespoke. Like, that's Nintendo's like old money. Like, they don't care. They don't care if they offend everybody. They'll still sell Mario, Zelda, everything else. Yeah. They don't care.
They're
adjacent to like the gaming industry at this point.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, do we want to give it Alex Hutchinson and this any more time? New plan to save the planet. Could it save the planet? Actually, now Steve's here. This is good. What's your take on Stadia, Steve?
Stadia. So it seems to be only marketed to the people that don't care about it. It's a service that promises things it like physically cannot deliver because there's too many things in the way between what they're promising and delivering the service. And I mean, we saw it before with like OnLive. OnLive did a reasonably good job with this kind of stuff, but that was like Batman Arkham Asylum, and it had a good service, and it had this whole kind of like observer mentality where, like, you know, you could go in and see other people and see what they were doing. And you could literally like see a huge kind of display, like a huge array of like 20, 40 games being played in real time. And you click on one and it would bam. You know, I think it's been done better before, but when it was done better before, it wasn't successful either. This isn't going to be good until everyone's got fiber out of their house.
Have you tried it?
What do you call it? What's that business they've got now? The net neutrality thing, whatever.
I don't know
how that affects that. How does that affect it?
It was basically, they had a sort of a legal requirement to provide the same sort of service to everyone, because it was like electricity or gas. It was a utility.
Right.
That's old news. I don't know the outcome of what a lot of stuff's happened since.
Are they supposed to provide clean drinking water in Michigan? I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? I don't think we're supposed to be putting babies in cages, but that's just me. Yeah, net neutrality was like, oh, we've got to fight this. And then Trump got in and fuck it. Fuck everything. So, yeah. But I'm not going to do that phrase. I'm not going to play.
He doesn't like it when we go there.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. I know him.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, we could all go there, but you know, ultimately, yeah. What is it, Chief?
Yeah, but I mean, to answer that question, no, it wasn't net neutrality that killed it or that is killing it. That's not really a factor right now. It's, you know, people will pay for what they want and they're just going to pay for it, whether it's expensive or cheap. That's just the way Americans are. Like, oh, it's expensive. That's outrageous. I'll pay it right now. That's just what that's all I do and I'm here. But yeah, it's promising something it can never deliver. So, you know, and no service will ever be that good, ever.
But do you think it's going to happen to it with xCloud coming in? Is there another option coming too?
The Luna Amazon thing.
Oh, Luna, yeah.
I don't know. That's Amazon's been trying to get their gaming shit around for years. I don't think they can do it. It's hard getting gaming services off the ground and having them successful when you're surrounded by everything that's currently working really well. Thanks. You know,
yeah.
It's hard. And you know, it's like, oh, this is unique, and you don't need a computer in your house. Well, why? You know.
Yeah, great. I have a computer in my house. Yeah,
everyone pretty much at this point has something that can play games really good, even if it's an iPad, right? So yeah, it's the answer to the question no one's asking. Let's say that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll give old friend of the Game Punches show, Stu Leck.
Stu Leck.
The thing I like about
Stu Leck.
The thing I like about Stu Leck is that. When we were I think I saw him tweet it, or whether he responded to us or something like that. He talked about his top gaming consoles, and he always includes his iPad in like a top gaming console.
Mm.
You know, which is interesting. A little bit left field for me, for maybe for a lot of us who are like PC or console. Like I just don't game on my iPads at all. Yeah. But obviously, somebody does.
Oh, yeah. Right. iPad has a lot to offer these days, you know.
So it's a perfectly legitimate platform for gaming, right?
Absolutely.
But maybe a lot of us are just, you know, it's already there, right?
Mm.
Okay, well, is this all we've got? A Discord from Jay and that's it? No offense, Jay, not belittling your contribution here, but...
That's all I've seen.
Oh, okay. Jay says, thanks for the Discord ad. Can I get a shout out on the next show for my 37th birthday, please? Currently enjoying it in Blackpool, not much open, but still having fun. You can indeed, Jay. Happy birthday. Thank you for being here.
Are the Luminations not happening in Blackpool right now?
I don't know. I think they got turned on remotely.
can you zoom the Luminations?
It must be dark where you guys are now. There must be a Blackpool webcam.
I used to love going to the Luminations every year when I was a kid with the scouts. Ooh. So good. Honestly, that's very close to my heart. Blackpool Luminations. Love it.
Now, I did go to the Blackpool Illuminations once when we were in when I was younger. I can't remember. Are they just on for the summer or what is it? Or
oh God, no, no. It's just for like from. I can't remember I know November happens. I don't know if they turn them on before that and then turn them on just after that before Christmas, but November is that was always peak Luminations season.
Yeah. I'm watching a webcam of the North Pier via Blackpool.
Oh, and
yeah, there's lots of different colors and there's not a lot of people. Not a lot of cars, actually.
Not sure if that's COVID or not.
It's just Blackpool.
That's just the death of Seaside Town.
Oh, Christ. I get so upset about that kind of stuff. Man, they had such good arcades in Blackpool. Oh, anyway.
Yeah. They didn't seem to have much left, to be honest, when I went a few years back.
Man, yeah. The States is no better for arcades, are they?
That's a bygone era.
Yeah.
And a whole other discussion. So, yes, happy birthday, Jay. I hope you're having a good birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
So, that's it. Do no other. This is supposed to be about an hour. We're at 23 minutes. These guys, who's not sent us anything?
Well, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. last minute ditch on Twitter. Let's see. Oh, I'm in the wrong Twitter account anyway. That's okay. So let's just move on then to what we've been up to this week. Steve, we'll start with one of the other guys. You get a general feeling of the kind of stuff you want to check.
Yeah, that works.
Neil, go on. Give us a shout then, Neil. What you've been up? What you've been spending your money on?
Spanked a few more quid this week. I bought some new fans for my PC because it was getting a bit hot. Didn't like it.
Well, your PC was taking off before, and then you...
No, that was the old one.
That was the old one.
But I put it was literally like a fucking Chinook blade in it or something.
It's brutal.
But I've got some... The thing I looked for this time was they needed to be high static pressure was the thing. Not they got good airflow anyway, but because it's going on the front of my case, it's got like a solid front with vents around the top and sides. So it needs to be able to suck the air right in and like push it through.
Right.
So yeah, they're only cheap, like £6 each or something. But it seems like they're better. £6 each.
Greedy fan devs. £6.
Shout out to Overclockers UK. Sent me some 2 packs of Tangfastic Haribos in if me
Tang.
Brilliant. Tangfastic.
Bonus Haribo. I like it. That's good.
I've stuck them in. They're dead easy. I was fucking because I'd had my PC down under my desk because it was a bit noisy and that when it got like hot. I pulled it up to sort it out. I pulled the front off and I was like, holy shit, it's like a fucking spider web in there. All sorts of dust, and I was like, oh, so took a little while to get the old compressed air and give it a good blast and clean all the shit out of it. But yeah, it seems to be running all right. It's on the top of my desk now. It's pretty quiet.
That's good. Is it all RGB'd up? Is that why you've got it?
Oh, no. I didn't bother with that bollocks. That's why they were cheap.
RGB.
Well, I've got an RGB motherboard, but because I've got such a hoof in the great block cooler on top of my CPU, it basically covers it all up anyway. So it's like I was trying to point it. But yeah, happy so far. I've got to get some more fans for the back because the case came with fans and they're basically shit. Like I can put my hand over the back of my PC where the fan is. It's like running at 100% and it's barely pushing any air out at all. Wow. That's basically doing fuck all. So that's the next step.
How's your new Google Nest stuff?
All good. It's all working great. Touch wood, I haven't had any drops for my... Because I've got the dodgy old white OpenReach modem out, like I said before, which they stopped supporting officially in 2017. So I haven't had a firmware update in God knows how long because I haven't had it plugged in for fucking years. But I did start looking at alternative modems. It's about £80. There's only about one on the market you can buy. I think they've got a bit of a monopoly on like modem, just the modem without a router built in.
So I was going to say, can't you just speak to BT? Is it BT?
I did speak to BT, and I could have done that, but like if I was to boost my Wi-Fi signal around my house with BT, it was going to cost me extra anyway. So I was like,
fucking
get something that's decent and not reliant on them because my hub was just crap. It worked. So they once I phoned them up and they sorted it out and it seemed to run a while, but it was still dropping the connection every now and again. And it was the Wi-Fi is basically poo. Wasn't getting all the way around the house particularly well. So yeah, I can add another Wi-Fi point fairly easily now. Well, I could have done that with the BT, but it's like £200 for their stuff. So
So when you add the Wi-Fi, I'm Luddite here. When you add the new Wi-Fi point, is that you're not wiring that in, are you? Is it just
plug it into the wall basically, and then it's just a Wi-Fi, like just adds another access point to the mesh.
Yeah,
and same network everywhere. It doesn't, and like you just hop from one access point to the other around the house, but depending on what's got the best signal. So,
right.
But yeah, I've got. Modem come like phone line goes to the modem. Modem goes straight into my Google Nest now, next to the modem, and then that there's a wire that comes out of that into a network switch, which I've got a cable going upstairs into my lounge with another network switch, with a load of fucking wire stuff on, and then I've got everything else on Wi-Fi. Oh, I've got some, actually, I've got some home plugs as well. Fucking, this place is like radiation central.
I have a question for you. So if I wanted, see, I have my computers, so we've got the four PCs and whatever else, God knows whatever else is all tied into this. But the four PCs don't talk to each other. Did we cover this last week?
You said about it.
You said about it.
So if I was, I don't want to touch, I have the modem and router all in one coming in, right? And I don't want to touch it. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to go into whatever that 192.168, whatever nightmare is there, right? I want nothing to do with that in case I fuck it up. But could I come out of that into a brand new router, a router or whatever?
No, don't use a router because that's when it starts fucking up. You can get a network switch.
Right. But would a network switch then wires allow all my PCs to talk to each other?
Well, they're all in the same room, aren't they? Pretty much.
Just about, yeah.
There's only the one, yeah.
Well, everything would be hardwired. Like the hardwires to my wife's upstairs comes downstairs to the same area. So I can hardwire them all into.
Yeah, you just need a cheap network switch, which basically just you plug whatever comes downstairs into that and then wires from your three PCs or whatever you've got in that room all into that switch. And right, they'll all talk to each other.
Yeah, okay.
The router will give them IP addresses and stuff. So
yeah, if you put another router in, you need to set it to an access point, and then
which doesn't, some of them can't.
No, like, and then it needs
to be bridged or something.
Yeah,
it gets complicated. Then you're off fanging about with 192 and all that shit.
Yeah,
that's right. That's exactly what I don't want.
And yeah, DHCP rules and
what?
Yeah,
networking level A.
Level 8. That one doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's why I said A.
Level X.
Yeah, I'm not going to do
that. A for amateur.
I wasn't anything expecting else, some OSI model goodness on this show.
Brilliant.
I did watch the last episode of Lovecraft Country, which came out.
Oh, I keep meaning to write that down.
Have you been watching it?
No.
Oh, right. I stopped after episode 3.
He hasn't, because he can't remember.
You stopped after episode 3. Oh, I should have gone absolutely on after that.
Huh?
It got better after episode 3, in my opinion.
It's good, because I stopped watching because it got bad.
I can't remember which one. Like, I don't know. Which ones? Loads of people said about episode 2 and 3 not being great. But I was like, I don't really remember those.
I can't remember.
Maybe that's because they weren't that good.
Right. I think episode 3 was that when they were in the mansion, or was that episode 2? Anyway, I tuned right out.
Yeah, it went all weird. Went properly weird. So, which I kind of like. So
I need to pick this back up, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know. I don't know your tastes, you see. You might not like it still.
I'm intrigued by the title Lovecraft Country, right? That's what got me into it.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and that's the problem, you know, because there's a thousand other, you know, shitty oppression movies or TV shows I could watch, which I have, but I want some H.P. Lovecraft shit. And if I'm not going to get that,
well, I don't know. There's some monsters and stuff like that in it, and man,
but are they just used as a? Are they kind of used to kind of deliver some other messages? If they're kind of
Well, there's other messages, but I don't know.
All right,
I enjoyed it anyway.
I'll take a look.
I was a little bit bummed around the ending, but there you go.
Oh, right, okay. So it doesn't get better.
Well, I don't know. I was bummed. You might like it.
Okay. I don't want to know about your week.
Can you ollie my dog barking?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's all right. We're dog friendly here.
Well, you know why he's barking. I want to bring this up because we found a local vodka distillery. They make like potato vodka, like right down the road, and they deliver it. You order it online.
Jesus, how much vodka do you go through?
Well, clearly enough to do this. they literally just pull. I got a text message, and it was like, it's almost like we're on first name terms. Like, I got a text from them. at 5:57 saying, no, 5:46 on the way. And I was like, yay. And now it's just arrived. Two huge 750ml bottles of vodka on my doorstep. They don't check ID or anything. Not that I need to worry. I'm 45. But isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Get the credit card,
that's fine.
I don't know. Is it? I got a guy who turned out to deliver weed to my door.
Well, okay, it's crazy. The government. This is as crazy as we get.
I don't know. That's still pretty crazy. I don't know if I could get anyone to deliver vodka to my door.
Yeah. Now what?
I could probably find some hipster to deliver craft beer.
Well, that's different.
Anyone can do that.
They're fine.
Probably find some sort of guy from out in the country to deliver moonshine, but I need to find that perfect middle ground where it's just bottles of vodka, right?
Where it won't kill you. Yeah, true.
Where I can see the next morning.
Burns your retinas clean through.
Hey, I'm impotent.
I shouldn't have drank whatever that was. good stuff. Sorry, I'm sidetracking the shit out of the show. I do apologize.
That's fine. That's what you can do. You wait until you get Bongo or GH Rocker on as a guest.
Oh, Christ, Bongo. Bongo the Sian.
I like that's Bongo. What we like our guests to do. It's all good, man.
Okay, fine.
Are you done, Neil?
I watched War Horse today. I don't know if you've seen
that. Oh, jeez. He's not done, is he?
War Horse. About a horse. Went to the war.
Did he get shot?
Miraculously, the horse is like, I don't think it's based on a real story. It's a Michael McPurgo book called War Horse.
Oh, is this a Steven Spielberg movie?
Yeah, it's Steven Spielberg, yeah.
From like 20 years ago, War Horse.
It's not 20 years ago.
It's probably. It's 10 years ago.
Through,
was it 10?
It's not 10 years
2011. Ago.
Really? Oh wow. Yeah, really?
It was more recent than that.
I kind of feel like it was older than that. All right, whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, my boy's doing, they're studying the book at school. So his homework was he had to watch the movie. So we had to fucking buy a movie.
Yeah.
First time in God knows
how long. War Horse.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So I watched that with him this morning. And it was all right. It was like, this is fucking ridiculous. This was impossible. It's just impossible that anything in this film actually happened.
I was about to ask if Matt Damon was in that. He wasn't, was he, at all? Matt Damon.
I don't remember seeing it. It was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Briefly. Really? Okay.
It says the screenplay is by Lee Hall and Richard Curtis.
Okay.
And Richard Curtis, everybody knows, is the Blackadder, right?
Yeah, and Love Actually and all that.
Oh, and all that.
Every British rom-com with Hugh Grant in.
Four Weddings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was okay.
All right. Okay. Any more on War Horse?
No, I'm done.
Okay, good. Okay, I'll go next. Did I put my subwoofer in my car last week? I cannot remember anything we did last week. Did I put it in?
You didn't say you put it in.
Okay,
because he was cruising to the traffic lights and like with his baseball cap on, nodding to all the homies and that.
I think I was going.
I thought that was he was going to that, and then he was going to troll his wife by
looking at that. Oh, that was right. Yeah, that was if I'm at the traffic lights on my own, I turn it down. If I'm at the traffic lights with my wife, I turn it up. That's the way it works, right?
Yeah,
and you can just sort of just see her mouthing, "Turn it down."
Yeah, the subwoofer is in. I managed to splice it into the rear woofer lines. The only thing I don't have is a firing cable. So if you're not familiar with it, it has to detect a voltage before it'll turn itself on. Otherwise, it's on all the time and runs your battery down. So I need to hook up a line to somewhere that's going to give it a voltage when the ignition.
You have to go into your boot and turn it on then manually at the moment.
Well, that's what I can do right now. So I did it when I went out earlier in it. So I bridged it from the power of the amp to its own trigger line. So
you've just got like a light switch, like above, like
no, just a wire between. No, but what I can do that.
Nitrous oxide operation switch.
Oh, I should put some nitrous oxide in, shouldn't I?
Put a fucking spoiler on the back of it.
I'll just get some whippets instead.
Oh, all right, slow down, Vin Diesel.
Yep, so I got that in anyway, and I just need to run this line. So hopefully I'll get that done this weekend. Cool. So that's good. And I did buy some new speakers this week. So continuing my looking for new speakers. I bought a nice set of floor standers, which I got for a very good price, $100.
Is that for your basement?
No, they went upstairs. They took out the speakers that I bought a couple of weeks ago. I've moved those now down to my desk. And then I've moved my desk speakers to
the kids.
The TV, ooh, which I set up for playing Wind Waker. Ooh. And I've accidentally created like a third living room. So
So
downstairs where we are, I have TV against the wall with the surround sound system, and then a sofa in front of it, right? And then exactly at 90 degrees is the second sofa. But that sofa just basically faces a blank wall, right? Or is an odd angle. But no one really sits on that sofa except the dog. Right. And then I wanted to put I set up a TV to play the Wind Waker. So I put that where that wall is, right? So now I have two TVs at adjacent to each other and two sofas, each one facing a TV. And then I had these spare speakers.
So you got like a really happy dog.
My dog now has his own TV. No, he doesn't have his own sofa. He has his own TV.
And speakers.
But it's great, yeah. So I've got this TV and the speakers, and I put its own amp and speakers up now. I've got just this brilliant sort of like dedicated, I'm going to hook the PS3 up to it, and it's my sort of dedicated retro TV and sofa and stuff. It's brilliant.
How much use do you think you're going to get?
Well, I've been on it almost every night this week playing Wind Waker. Okay. So... we can talk about this now.
This is when the wife says, "Why do we need this?" And my friend's like, "Oh, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. Like 4 days, and then
There is stuff like that. Of course, there is. We all know. You all know. Right? But what's interesting is, and I'll just skip straight to the Wind Waker part right now of what I've been playing, is that settling in and playing Wind Waker with the proper controller in front of the TV with decent sound, it's just been a wonderful experience, right? Even just sitting on the carpet with an old school GameCube controller in your hand and a wire draped across the floor, across the carpet. I mean, it's like being transported 30 years, right? It's been a really good experience, and I've really enjoyed playing Wind Waker as well. You know, once I've got brushed away all the modern graphics and everything and settled down, and once I'm like 10 to 15 minutes into playing it, I'm just there, and it's such a great game. So great. Anyway, that's my GameCube experience. I could wax lyrical about it, but you understand what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. I love it.
Oh, man, it's just, it's great. I've been moving speakers around. I got more speakers than I know what to do with, which is great. Not a bad problem to have. In terms of watching, we finished off Good Omens this week. We finished that off last night.
What do you reckon? What do you think?
I loved the ending. I got around about the middle. I was sort of like flip-flopping on it. Like, I don't know if I can be bothered to watch the rest of it. And then I said to Grace last night, look, it's only two episodes left. Let's power through. And it was well worth it. It was great. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah,
I was a bit battered watching it last night, and so I was laughing a lot, which was great, right? Which was really great.
Well, you can actually remember what happened, though, yeah?
Yeah, I can remember what happened, and thank you very much, Neil. And I think what I loved about it was just once you're in tune with, especially for a lot of us who know Terry Pratchett and have read Neil Gaiman as well before, I just love the way they do stuff, like the Four Horsemen of the Horse people of the apocalypse are meeting in a calf, right? And you know, like this in London or somewhere. And it's just, you can picture how they wrote it. Like, I don't think watching it, when you watch it, that it's interactions and you know that you really should be reading the book because there will be a massive backstory on a character who will probably just deliver one line.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the devil will be in the details of the of the lady behind the counter at the cafe, even though she probably only says a couple of things, but they will describe her perfectly and how much she doesn't give a shit probably about the guy, the four horsemen of the apocalypse who are sitting there like bugging the shit out of her or something, right?
I remember reading Good Omens, the book, years and years ago, and then watching the film, the series, I was thinking, I need to read the book again, because there's so much to it. The series is really good, but it's good to go back to the book.
Yeah, the series is really good. The two main characters are genius. Every time they are on, it's just great. I think the bits with the children were a little bit lame, but they did the best they can with kids, right? I think. it's really good. Really good. And then we also I'm always looking for stuff to watch with my kids, like, you know, grab my son, get off the PC. Come on, we got to do some family watching. So I started Firefly this week.
Oh, good choice.
There we go. See, I was about to say, I'm absolutely positive Steve's watched it.
You know it.
Brilliant. I don't know if you guys film have.
Or
that's the series.
Serenity was a film, wasn't it?
It was.
So we've done the first.
I've never watched Firefly. No.
What are you doing? It's really good.
Yeah. Is it still good, though?
It's still good.
That's got to be older than Warhorse.
Yeah, probably is. No, it's really well done. It's really well done. In the same way that, like, Han Solo is still, you know, watchable, right? Same thing.
Yeah, old tech, that's right.
Old spaceships, you know.
It's actually very well made.
Widescreen? Is it in widescreen? Because I'm not sure I can watch it.
No, I'm the same. No, it is definitely in widescreen.
Cool.
Even though it's quite old, it's surprising that some of the special effects are really good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it's like, it's a little bit, it reminds me a lot of like The Mandalorian, right? It's the same sort of thing as The Mandalorian, like just adventures every week for people running through space or whatever, doing whatever.
Yeah, it's like a monster of the week thing. Everything kind of self-contained, but there's like an overarching arc from beginning episode one all the way to the end. But it's very similar in that way.
But the genius is in all the characters, right? I mean, first and foremost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
first and foremost, Nathan Fillion is just amazing.
He kills it. I mean, that show was made for him, pretty much. Yeah. That's the Nathan Fillion show.
Is it the same guy that made Buffy? Is that it?
Yes, it's, what's his
Josh
name?
Josh Whedon.
Yeah, thank you. It was on the tip of my tongue. Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Who also did Avengers 1, by the way, the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, he did Cabin in the Woods, really?
Yes, he did. Joss Whedon. Oh,
I did not know that. No wonder I love it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Okay, so that's me. Oh, no, it's not. I forgot. that's games. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. Oh, okay. That's separate? Okay.
Oh, I put it in games already. I'm losing it. Okay, next.
Very weak week for me. I literally just watched the first episode of series 3 of Star Trek Discovery. I don't know if anybody else been watching Star Trek Discovery.
I ignored season 1. Whatever season it was where the cool captain came in, Captain Pike. That's where I started watching.
Captain Pike?
Yeah.
Because it was, what's his name? Jason Isaacs, is it? It was the first series.
Yeah, originally.
The rogue captain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Discovery brought a new Captain Pike in, and he is absolutely, right. He just steals the show. Yeah.
Okay. They're starting releasing them weekly on Netflix. I think the second episode is actually out today. Watching that. But that's about it, really. It's been a really busy week for work for me. So I've just been working and then having a kip from about 6 to about 8, put my daughter to bed, mustering up the energy to jump on the computer for an hour, and then going back to bed. And then, it's just been one of those weeks.
It's the grind, man.
Yeah, I'll get used to it. It's, you know, I was off for 6 months, and now, it's the work, basically, it's... like catching up 6 months worth of work in 2 months, 3 months before Christmas. There's a lot. So yeah, it's one of them.
Right. Okay then, Steve. Steve, you done, Dave?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
Steve, anything you want to share? What you've been up to?
Oh, Christ. I mean, if you're talking about
don't have to.
Like, I mean, if you're talking about non-game shit, like, so we moved into this house, right? It's like almost a year ago to the day. What day is it? 10/23. Okay, we moved into this new house.
You live in Virginia, for anyone who doesn't know. Is that right? Are you still living in Virginia?
Absolutely, yeah. So we originally, like back when the old Game Puncher show, I was living in a place called, don't laugh, it's Spotsylvania, right? So it's the Dalmatian vampire county. So
I visited there.
You did, and it was fun. Wasn't that good?
Yeah, it was good.
Wasn't that great? It was good. And your kids and my kids just ran into the forest, got ticks, fleas, who knows what else. That's great. Yeah, who cares, right? So it's kids, they raise themselves. So you know, we did that, and that was fun. But you know, the house was like, you know, the kids were growing out of it, so we decided to move a little bit closer to where I work. I actually work 90 minutes by car away from where we lived. And I was like, well, you know, fuck that. But but my fuck that came literally about 15 years after it should have come. So like, we stayed up there, and I drove, you know, 90 minutes forth, about 15 years. Then we moved down here, and we moved in on the 6th of November, 2019. So we're coming up to a year now in this new place. And I guess that's precisely the moment when all of the appliances that came with the house break, right?
Yeah, that would be about it.
Yeah. And the reason we bought this house and not the house next door or the other houses on the street, because it's a really nice house. And it's one of those things
new,
where, like,
this is a new build, right?
No. This is a 2005 house. This entire neighborhood is 2005, which is ancient for here. It's America.
Say, that's pretty new for the UK.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is like Arthurian legend old here. So, the thing is, like, we got this house because it had a pool. And as soon as I saw the pool, I was like, I want this house immediately. Like, this is kind of that. That's, it just came out of me, and we bought the house. I was like, oh, this is very expensive. So anyway, we got this house, and yeah, it's got a pool. And what they don't tell you about pool ownership, for one thing, is that you've got to maintain that the entire year, and you only get to enjoy it on weekends during the summer. Right. So really, summer is about what, 4 months? So you've got what, 4, 8? You got about 12 weeks.
There is no more expensive way to swim.
I'm not there really isn't.
12 weeks is sounding pretty good from here.
Well, 12 weekends, but then that's weekends, right? So that's not that many. 24 days if you swim on Saturday and Sunday, right? So that's 24 days out of the year. Out of 365 days, you're having to, like, just, I mean, you're paying over the tits for, like, electricity to pump that shit, you know, water. I mean, and the thing is, every single day I've got to go out with a little net and scrape the leaves off the bottom of the thing. Yeah. I mean, it's awful. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that too much, but I've been doing that because now it's October, so it's pool closing season. Pool closing is a pain in the ass. If you're in Virginia, it freezes, so you've got to close your pool. You've got to blow all the water out your pipes and then seal them up so that, you know, no water freezes in the pipes and cracks them for when you open it again this summer. Anyway, it's bullshit. Don't ever get a pool. That's what I'm saying. I guess that's the message. Like, don't ever buy a pool. Don't get a pool. Don't buy a house with a pool. Huh?
At least your kids have been enjoying it. Like,
no, but that's the fucking thing. Right, okay, so... They're old, right? So one's 15 and one's 12, which means that they don't give a shit, right, about anything that the parents think is great. And me and my wife, this is like millionaire's dream. Like, we're in there, like we were in there every Saturday, like, you know, drinking, just throwing it back, the cocktails, going, yeah, we're getting dressed in our own pool. It's great, right?
Drinking your locally produced vodka.
Absolutely right. And then, you know, we crank the music up, like, we're just Bluetoothing the shit out of this thing and, like, really being an embarrassing, you know, mess in this neighborhood that we just moved into. And then the kids, of course, were like, hey, why don't you come out? No, I don't want to go out there right now. And I mean, they only go out with their friends, and that's seldom. So like, really, it's really just a boondoggle for me and the missus. And it's like, oh fuck. Anyway, never mind. That's that. As well as that, the fridge is broke. Right, the fridge broke. Stop cooling things in the fridge, but the freezer is like absolute zero Kelvin. And then I don't know why that is the case. Dishwasher is absolute bullshit. That thing decided to stop washing things. I fixed that though. Anyway, everything has gone wrong. The boiler, we've got a gas boiler. That thing broke. I had to fashion my own weird knob thing to turn the gas on. For as much money as I paid for this house, like we're doing an awful lot of maintenance. Let's say that, right? And it's only 2005, but again, if you go to like insurance company or anybody else and say, oh, I'm working on this house, it's brand new, it's the 2005, they go, oh, that's ancient. Of course you're going to have to do all these things. No, come on. Anyway, so that's that. I don't think I've been doing much of anything else apart from ordering alcohol, playing a lot of games. Getting leaves out of your pool. Yeah, we're trying to stay on top of it right now because you're supposed to blast it with chemicals before you put the cover over it. Mm. And the thing is right now, because we haven't been in the pool, it's Virginia, right? Virginia's been having a cold fall so far, right? So the thing, right, when you get a pool and it's all in Fahrenheit.
You could just whack it up to like 30 degrees and go, yeah. Wait, fuck it.
You could if there was a thermostat. We don't have a heater. We can't just turn it up. It's not like that.
I think you're underestimating how long it takes a pool to get up to temperature as well.
It's a massive body of water.
August. Surely it'll be all right in October.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it started getting hot. I mean, the thing is, you can't get into a pool and have a decent time unless it's at least 84 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what Celsius is anymore. I don't know what real measurements are. I can't remember over here. We're all on burgers and freedom units over here. I don't know. So anyway, but yeah, it's got to be 84 degrees. Just for comparison, water freezes at 32. 100 degrees is what happens when you're at Disney in Florida. And then it boils at I don't care.
Yeah, anyway. 84 is actually 28 degrees Celsius, so it's quite close to 30.
Thank you. So yeah, if you imagine water at 28, you go, okay, that's a little chilly for water because it's still gotta meet your internal body temperature to not feel like awful, right? No. So anyway, and that does forget, you don't want to hear about my pool.
I'm interested. How do you heat? Are you really? got a heat pump or you got or a gas?
No, what for the AC, for the general heat thing? We have both
in the pool.
For the pool, we don't have heat for the pool. Oh, we just have a water pump.
Oh, wow. No heater.
No, what do you think? I'm like Fauntleroy, like a Brewster over here.
I don't know anyone who doesn't have a heater. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in that middle bracket of the people who are rich enough to have a pool, not rich enough to have heat.
You don't have heat on the pool. Well, Dave said whack it up, right? Oh,
well, just whack it up like on Tomb Raider.
So what? No. You just wait for it to get up to temperature over the course of the summer.
Yeah. You've literally got to wait for the weather to warm it for you. There is a cheaper option. You can get like a little kind of thermal cover. It's like a weird plastic bubble sheet you just throw over the entire thing, and it actually absorbs heat from the sun and transfers it through. Exactly. It's like a pool greenhouse. And you throw that over every night, and then it kind of keeps it. Actually, you get a couple of extra weeks on either side of pool season doing it that way. But why do you care about this? This is pool talk.
If you pick out the right episodes, you hear us talking about power tools for an hour and a half.
Well, there was a lot of appliance talk in the last four episodes.
It's important.
Which is why I thought, okay, I'm okay to talk about and complain about my fridge.
Oh, yeah. These are the things that bind us.
They truly are. I mean, really.
Fridge to unite us.
My wife and I have become experts at fixing fridges. And freezer, like combo fridge freezers. We've become experts at fixing gas fuel boilers. We've become experts at fixing all kinds of dishwashers. And we're also expert pool maintenance people now, thanks to this fucking house that we paid shit ton of money for. So, yeah, that's the end of that. I don't know. There's a moral? I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
I've found something for you. You can buy, I've put you the link. you can buy a wood stove that is also a pizza oven and pool heater combo.
Now we've been looking at these.
Steve, pizza oven.
Well, that's the thing. That's what everyone... Oh, of course we have a patio with... the thing is, we don't have a patio like the way the house is. It's like they had just enough concrete around the pool area to have like loungers and stuff and a fire pit. But it's not enough if you want to start putting like, oh, there's a seating area over there. Oh, we can make fucking pizza over here. We don't have that part yet. But if you look at all the lifestyles of the rich and famous, they have like these pizza ovens outside. Yeah. By the pool, because that's what I guess celebrities do. They have pizza by the pool, or they make pizza.
Hard graft of swimming across the pool. You got to have a pizza.
Then you just got to slide some, I don't know, some dough in there. Get going. I don't know. But yeah, actually, that's not a bad idea. I could keep going. There's variable speed pumps, and we're probably looking at one of those for next year. This is not interesting. You don't want to about variable speed pumps.
You can fix your own boiler.
Yeah,
you have to get a professional in to do that sort of thing.
Oh god, yeah. But if we tried to do that in the UK, like I'm sure the police would.
The gas police would be on you.
Oh, this is, the gas police. Oh, this is America. Now we just walk around with like, you know, six shooters.
So you have to shoot it or something.
If you can't shoot it, then you got to fix it. That's the rule.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit more wildy west over here. I did my water heater out and put a new one back in and extended the gas pipe and stuff like that.
Fucking mental.
Don't tell anyone.
That's Canada. I mean, Canada's perfect. Like, does the council not detect that you're disgruntled and like slide in some services to help you?
Yeah,
help you with your burden.
This guy's so unhappy.
These are your tax dollars. Let's go.
The unhappy detector. He's not sociable enough this week. He must be wrong at his house.
Yeah, well, let's go and see what's wrong. Let's make him happy. Canada.
Anything else, Steve, in there for you, Jim?
Nothing that's not game related.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some video games then, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Go on then.
We'll just go in order, if that's easy enough. So I'll start then. I finally finished Picross. I was very close to posting on the Overseas Connection, victory achieved, but I forgot and didn't do it. But I finished every puzzle in that game, finally. And once I got the final puzzle done, I stood up, threw my arms in the air and then sat back down and fired up Picross 2S or Picross S2 and realized I'm just faced with an even more a larger amount of puzzles than was in the first one, and it pretty much broke my spirit.
I can just imagine you just standing up going victory and then switching everyone. Oh,
I know. I sat down, fired up the next one. I went, oh god, it's more of the same, isn't it?
Funny that.
So, but it doesn't matter. I will probably have a break for a while, and then I will be back on my Picross addiction to
when a man tires the Picross.
Exactly, Neil. Exactly. Obviously, been playing Valorant with you guys.
Yep.
I think a bit of a milestone in the game last week where very good where I suddenly reached this sort of zen point where I suddenly wasn't as stressed as I had been when I was playing it previously, and I think I just suddenly became comfortable with the game. I don't know what it was. I just stopped being stressed. Maybe it's because we haven't been playing ranked. I don't know, that could have something to do with it.
You've accepted death. You know you're going to lose. It's just like, yeah, well.
I don't. I played on Sunday with Matt, and I was posting half decent. Like, I'm not posting great kill death ratios. I know who I am, right? But in general, to what I've been posting, like before, and this doesn't mean much to people who aren't playing the game, but I was maybe getting. I felt like I was very eight or nine kill level. And then suddenly for the weekend, I was posting 14s, 15s, 16s, you know, and I was more respectable. Like I don't think kill deaths are the be all and end all in this game. It's definitely, you know, definitely is a team game. But yeah, I don't know. I just felt more relaxed. I'm really enjoying it. Really enjoying it.
Oh,
you guys are both playing it, so you can jump on the Valorant bandwagon.
Yeah, I don't know. Really, it's just keep plugging away. It's the game of the moment, isn't it? Like the sort of like we used to play PUBG a lot. all together, and now it's like the gang are all playing Valorant.
I think I'm enjoying playing with you guys more than enjoying the game. And that's, it's just, it's another one of those first-person shooters, team games, 5 versus 5. The only thing that annoys me about it is it takes bloody ages for a game to complete, because you're potentially having like 22 matches of 4 minutes. Is it four minutes? 3 minutes?
Like three quarters of an hour I usually budget for a game.
Yeah.
5 minutes is a close game, usually.
Yeah. So, you know, it's... this week, especially being as tired as I have been, like even just trying to get one game in, it's been a bit of a stretch. But, you know, I don't know. I know I'm not very good at it, and so it annoys me. So, but I want to be on and I want to be playing, but like to get better. But.
Yeah, but I think it's just a number of games, right? You know, it's just like we were playing this week, and I fully admit I criticized you on your use of of that power, whatever.
Right? Yeah, no, I was playing the stage, yeah. So,
but I don't feel I could have done that or noticed it. Like 2 weeks ago, I think that's just the thing. I just feel like I'm more relaxed and I'm starting to really just sort of settle in now into the strategies and things like that, rather than being overly concerned with the gunplay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But I definitely have more games under my belt than you do. So I'm just wondering whether, you know, maybe I've just hit that point and, you know, I don't know. We're all different.
Well, you know,
it's a hard game, right? I mean, it is a tough.
Yeah. Well, I'm coming off the back of like other first-person shooters where it's like Call of Duty, where it is literally you just run around the corner and try and use all of your everything that you have in your arsenal to get the next kill. Whereas Valorant is more of a, it's not so twitch-based. It's more strategic and tactical. Part of the tactic is not knowing what's on the other side of the wall, and you could be facing against nobody or five people, and yeah, like giving the game away about who is there, that severely gives the opposition more information that you don't want them to have.
That's why it's fun playing with five of us, because we can communicate, right? So if we have all five of us are on Discord playing together with no dirty randos,
right?
Then the communication is pretty sound because everyone is telling everybody everything.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And I remember like one game, like I think we swapped sides where we were defending, like all of us about two or three times, like running back and forth between the map, going, "They're going there, no, they're going there." I was playing at the time going, that's a bit random. Okay, but yeah, no, like actually we're working as a team, and we're, you know, somebody was hanging back and making sure nobody was following us, and yeah, so it's if I was playing it as a like on my own without anybody else, I would not be playing it now.
No, I've not played without us lot, at least like one or two of us on.
Oh well, there's I know one of the guys, Arnie, he will not play when there's not five people, because like he needs it to be a fully communication team, no randos that you're not sure if they're going to be good or bad. Because if you're stuck with a bad rando, as Neil knows, it's basically a waste of 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, we found interesting, I've noticed with the randos that we've been getting, is the worse they are, the more they bitch. So you're getting sort of like comments from them and stuff like that. And then when you go and check the scoreboard, you're like, hang on a second, you're sitting at the bottom. Like you're the shittest. Why are you giving us the grief? Right? So, but we very, very quickly, anyone who's toxic, we just mute them and just be done with them. Right. And suddenly everything's okay. It's great.
That's all right. It's when they literally, like we had one game, it was just guy was just shooting me all the time. I'm like, they can't damage you, but it's just really fucking irritating when one of your own team is just constantly getting in front of you and putting their gun in your face and going bang 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 bang. They're typing shit in the chat as well. You're like, for fuck's sake, you are really getting on my tits.
Report.
Yeah, I reported him multiple times. Or them. It might have been a girl, I don't know. Seems unlikely, though.
Yeah, the problem, yeah. I think you said that was actually a competitive, was it a competitive? It wasn't. Because I looked at it was a ranked match. It was a ranked match. And I looked at it, and the amount of time and effort somebody has to put in to get to ranked matches on there, and then...
There's not much time and effort to get to Neil's rank, trust me.
All right, okay. Throw that shade.
Neil knows he's more ranked. He's ranked higher than I am, so it's cool.
I've got my new rank for the season. Have you got your rank?
Not yet, I don't think. Anyway, okay, that's... Yeah, so Valorant still continues to be the new hotness. And then Wind Wanker. Someone has changed in the notes.
It's too tempting.
So I covered that. I again, just sit down, start playing it, and as long as I'm in the frame of mind to just give the game a couple of hours, you know, or give the game a good hour or so and just relax and play it, then I just realize how great that game is. It's just, again, and I've covered this, Steve, you know this for sure, and we've covered this before when we've talked about, it's not what these games do wrong, it's just what they do right is so amazing, right? Just,
oh yeah.
Just, it's incredible. Like, I was getting, I think I was bitching about the moving around, too much sailing, right? Mm. Taking too long to get anywhere. And then lo and behold, like, I just bumped into this guy who just suddenly opened up all the fast travels for me. And I was like, oh, great. Like, it's just quality. I banged on about it last week and how they do everything so well. So I'm not going to.
Do you know the end again or not?
Making good progress. As Zelda games go, I think I'm just about to hit that second stage of it all. Like, I just need to unlock a couple of sages and then I'll be on to the next whatever. There's not many spaces left in my inventory to fill of like toys, right? So I think like there's probably a hookshot coming. I just got some power gloves, iron boots, you know, all the great stuff. Oh, that was what was so brilliant about it. Like, there was this one bit where you have to go, you can't get into this cave because there's wind blowing at you. And then somebody goes, well, maybe we should go and do this and blah, blah, blah. And you go, all right, I wonder whether, I guess I'm going to find some iron boots, right? Or you talk to a fish, you give a fish something or whatever, and he says, yeah, go get these boots or something. You're like, excellent. And then I get back to the island with my boots and I put them on and it starts going, you know, that beautiful iron boot sound as you're like clunk, 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 clunk. And then I notice that the controller, because I have that proper GameCube controller, it's just subtly giving me that, the thump on the gamepad because it's got a rumble pack in it, right? It's just thump, thump. And it's so fucking great. It's so good. Oh, man. There's so many moments in that game where I just go, this is just great. Like,
yeah, Wind Waker is my favorite out of all of the Zeldas.
Yeah. I don't know if it's my favorite. That's an argument for a whole other thing. But like all the Zeldas from Ocarina of Time onwards, like there's just those beautiful moments where you get something, like whether it's the Master Sword or you discover something and it just brilliantly gives you just the perfect piece of music, the rousing sound, and you just go, yeah. You know, like to get the Master Sword last week was just brilliant. You know, it's as nerdy and crazy as it sounds, it just totally put a smile on my face. So... Again, brilliant. Cool. Brilliant. And that's me.
Okay. We're going in order then?
Sure.
All right, well, obviously we talked about Valorant already. I carried on playing Art of Rally, which I started last week. I played probably about halfway through a career, I guess. So you start in whatever it was, 1967, and you work your way through years up to about 1980, I think. And every year that goes by, you get like more up-to-date cars and whatnot, and you'll unlock cars, and they'll be faster and a little bit trickier. But yeah, I'm really loving that, I've got to be honest. I like the style, and it's got some pretty cool music going on, like all synthesizers and stuff. And like I say, the learning curve's quite nice and gradual. It's just gets harder and harder, but it's nothing like you don't suddenly find it impossible yet. But yeah, I'm up to like Renault 5s, and BMW M3s, I guess they were from, like, I don't know, well, I could say it's 1970 odd.
You're not into the Audi Quattro.
I'm not into Audi Quattro era yet, no, which is when they got ridiculous. So, but it's fucking just a really cool looking game. Like, it's basic looking, but like some of the visuals, it's just really fucking nice. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know. It's like you're driving at different times of day and that. And when it's a sunset, like the real long shadows coming across everywhere and it's like real red looking and everything. It's really fucking good.
Have you got ray tracing?
It hasn't got ray tracing. I don't think it needs ray tracing. It hasn't got HDR on either, but you know, it looks well nice. And like I said, the driving is actually very good, I think. I ain't really played a lot of else, to be honest. I played a bit of Halo 4 just before the show because it's the next thing coming to Master Chief Collection on PC. So I literally played about 20 minutes of the first campaign mission. It's weird because that was a 360 game, wasn't it, when it came out?
I think so.
Yeah, it's like late 360.
Yeah.
Relatively late 360. Yeah, that. It's weird. It's like, it looks pretty fucking good, I've got to be honest, on PC. Like Master Chief and Cortana particularly, really, really, like, quite rendered really nicely in that. The scenery's not as good, but it's definitely a massive step up from, like, Halo 3. And it actually plays quite nicely on mouse and keyboard. That's the first time I've really played it on mouse and keyboard. I ain't played it loads, like I say. I don't
know
how
you downloaded the whole game. Is the whole, what's this? Which,
no, this is like, there's a, it's called Flighting, whatever they call it. So there's going to be the next one out, the last PC version of Master Chief Collection, and will be Halo 4. So because all the others are out now on Master Chief Collection on PC, I believe, like 1, 2, 3, and ODST. And so 4 is the last one. It was Reach out as well. Reach came out first, didn't it? So Halo 4 was the last one coming to Master Chief on PC. So they're doing some tests. There's like times to do multiplayer. If I haven't, I'm not sure I can fucking play Halo multiplayer anymore. I was pretty shit at 5, that's for sure. And then I played a little bit of New Super Lucky's Tale the other day. It was a Game Pass quest. But
of course it was.
It was actually a pretty good little platformer, 3D platformer. It was definitely a lot better than Yooka-Laylee, which was the last one of those type of games I played. And I didn't play that for very long.
But I heard that Super Lucky's Tale had been almost completely redone, or certainly they had changed it a lot, which made it a good game finally.
Yeah, I think Seth was talking about it on the Boss Wave, wasn't he? It was the most recent one. Because Super Lucky's Tale came out on Oculus Rift way back. And I played a bit of that because I think it came with my Oculus Rift when I bought that. And I didn't play a lot of it in VR because, I don't know, it was all right, but it was nothing special. And then they basically made that game. They just released that game for 360, not for 360, for Xbox One. And then they redone it, and this is New Super Lucky's Tale, which is what I played, and it's it's all right. It's pretty good.
Oh, the new. Okay, so that's what
the new one. Yeah. New Super Lucky's Tale is the new version.
Right.
And for 3D platformer, it's pretty all right. I think it's, you know, a bit cutesy, but the actual platforming seems pretty good for a, like, 3D platforming can be absolutely fucking horrendous, can't it? Be honest. Like, that's what I found with Yooka-Laylee. The camera was just fucking absolutely horrendous, and that would just make it shit. But New Super Lucky's Tale, I've not found that problem. It's been good. But I ain't played loads of it.
Because you got your Game Pass stuff and then binned it off, didn't you?
Well, no. I had to get 300 coins, and I've had over 500 coins. So I went way beyond what I needed today on that game. Not like Man of Medan or whatever, which basically had to start the game and then that gave me my 25 game pass. I was like, I might play this, but I didn't. that's about all I've played, really. I feel like I'm looking for a game to like grab me, and I don't know what to do. I might go back to Hades and have a, because I keep hearing people talk about that, and I loved it when I played it, but I ain't played it for a while. But I feel like I need to a game to get my teeth into and play. I'm not too sure what to go with. There's fucking
Death Stranding.
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a game, apparently.
I played Walking Simulator 2020 on Steam. I don't need to play Death Stranding.
Exactly.
So I've actually bought a new game this week.
Wow. Oh, man. You're too pro for this podcast.
I've only played 2.5 hours of it, though. A game called Stationeers. It's best way to describe it is it's a little bit like Space Engineers, in that it's a sort of creation style game where you're, well, what I'm doing at the moment is building a base on Mars. But the things like the atmosphere, electrical components, everything is sort of mapped as real, and you've got to sort of survive. So you've only got a certain amount of power, a certain amount of food, and a certain amount of air that you can breathe, and you're given a limited amount of resources, and you've got to create a base. So you create like solar panels, and you've got the ability to create a little greenhouse and create plants. You've got a few basics like tomatoes and stuff like that, and you've got to survive. But everything, including atmospheric pressure, gravity, power, is sort of things that you've got to get past. In that you've got to mine ore, you've got to refine that ore into iron or ingots of the ores to create new components. And yeah, it's very complicated.
It's a Dave game, isn't it?
It's a Dave game, yeah.
It sounds like a Steve game right now. I'm into it.
The way I'll put it is it's very complicated, and if you like the challenge of having to learn a lot of things quite quickly, through trial and error, you would like it. If you don't like doing that, you will not like this game at all. At least with Space Engineers, there is a lot of that, but it's a lot easier with Stationeers. Is that if you don't manage your things, like either power, because you need power to power your suit, which or if you don't manage the atmosphere in the greenhouse, all your plants will die, so you don't have anything to eat, and then you'll die. It's a very punishing game. There's a lot of tutorials with it, and it is still being worked on. They've done quite a few updates actually over the last couple of months I've been reading. So it is a continually developing. I think it is still in early access, but there is a lot of people who like these types of games are looking at it at the moment. I've been watching some YouTube videos, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. But I'm watching YouTube videos of people that have been playing it for a while. Yeah. So, and then I come into it and go, oh, I know what's going on. And then what did I do? I managed to accidentally blow up my furnace because the pressure, when you create a furnace, you get given a furnace as part of your, like a basic furnace as part of your sort of your pod, landing pod, and in creating that, I forgot to open the exhaust valve.
Sorry, turn that off.
So I was smelting iron just to try and create some to create some iron ingots, and the whole thing blew up. I was like, and I died, and I was like, what the hell? And it was like, I was basically, because I wasn't, you need like pressure in the exhaust valve for the furnace to actually get up to temperature and do it, but you've got to manage that. You can't just not open the valve and release it, and that's why the whole thing blew up. And I was, that was about an hour, and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. But like, it sounds stupid, but it's one of the many things that you've got to manage as you're playing. And
I'm looking at screenshots of this, and it looks like a fucking nightmare. Straight up. All of these circuits and wires going everywhere, and it's in 3D. Oh my god.
Yeah,
It sounds like you're always ready for doing something like this after fixing your boiler.
For my 2D stuff, this is way beyond anything I'm capable of.
It's it's pretty full on, and there is a full automation system through initially through a simple circuitry, so you can set up some logic boards to what I did in Space Engineers is through coding, just mapping the sun to get the most out of your solar panels. But you can also set it so that you can create light sensors, so that when there isn't light, you can automate lights switching on around your base, or activating a homing beacon, because you want to go away from your base to mine ore. And then when it gets dark, especially on Mars, where I'm first playing, it gets really dark, so you can't see anything. So unless you've got lights on in your base or a homing beacon, you just won't find your way back. And I know I ended up standing around for about a couple of minutes just waiting for it to get light so I could see where I was. And I was right next to the base. It was basically behind me, but I just couldn't see it in the dark. With this game, it doesn't own... It's some of the starting areas you can have. Pretty standard is like the moon or the Mars, or I think Europa's one. But then there's they've added one recently where you're on a, is it gravity, where it's a planet orbiting a black hole? And they've got a planet simulating the same as that. There's a lot to it. As I say, I've only played a couple of hours, 2.5 hours, I think it's on record.
Barely scratched the surface.
When you're building stuff, is that you're actually designing the buildings and the areas that you're building, not just putting down prefabs. There's sort of the things that you're using is prefabricated, so it's all the same, but the actual buildings and the areas that you're creating is your own, so it's very customizable, so you can make your own spaces and make your own base as you want. It was compelling enough. It's quite an old game. It was initially released end of 2017. And it was quite small when it first got released, but there's been so many updates and sort of pushing in a direction of sort of the hardcore simulation area that, it's starting to pick up steam now. And it's got very positive reviews on Steam. But I'll caveat that with, you need to like these types of games to enjoy it.
There's a on the Steam page, there's a little animated graphics which has a big banner across it that says, "This is not a casual game."
Right. Oh, right.
It says, "Stationaires is designed for hardcore players who want a game that's
optimizing logic circuits."
Yeah. You're speaking highly of it, so that's good.
It's that kind of stuff that I like, though, is that I would quite happily spend half an hour to an hour looking at a circuit board that I've set up myself and working out why my solar panels are not tracking the same frequency.
This is your wife sits behind you, just shaking her head.
Oh God, why? But I suppose that's why I do the job that I do, like in as a business analyst, is that I like finding and working through the problems of why something's not working correctly, or how what I can do to make it. Make something work better, and yeah, so that's my game. I know I nearly spend longer talking about it than I've actually been playing it, but
okay. I think that's completely interesting from that point of view. Like, I always love the friend of mine said to me a long time ago, where I think my wife and I were sitting down to have a drink with him, and he worked for a games company. And she said, "Oh, I don't really play video games." And he just said, "There's a game for everyone, right? You know." And I love that about games, right? Here's something that I will probably never ever play, but to hear you talk about it and really be into it is really cool, right? Mm. You know. We got to ask you, Dave. While I remember, actually, is sure. Where did you get to with Mario on the Nintendo Switch?
Mario on Nintendo Switch. I finished. I didn't do the full 120, 140 stars.
For Mario 64.
Mario 64. I have not yet started Sunshine, but I plan to this week, and I will message you as soon as I do.
Okay. No hurry. I'm not ready to. I'm not. I'd like to start. I got to finish Wind Wanker first. So if you can hang on, and I'll give you a shout when I finished it.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah.
Probably be in about a week or two.
Yeah, that's fine. If next week's anything like this week, I'll happily not pick up another game. But yeah.
And what about Galaxy? Have you played Galaxy before?
No, I've never played that. I watched my daughter play probably 20 minutes, half hour of it. She went off that pretty quickly. Some of the bits were quite complicated. She's 10. And yeah, she didn't play much after that.
She's looking for circuit boards and moisture evaporators. Oh,
she's on Roblox and Minecraft. And
she's playing all the other games. In other games,
yeah, pretty much. Among Us, she's loving Among Us, both in the original and the Roblox version of Among Us. And the fact I've set her up with Discord. Kids nowadays, God, how old am I? Right, children don't actually use a central place to chat to each other in Discord. Like, I only found out through my daughter that they can directly call and set up calls directly through just direct and not a central area.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought the only way that we could talk to each other is through...
Fucking hell, Granddad.
We've done that. We've definitely had a group chat going with like a phone call.
Sort of. Have we?
How can you go from 1 minute telling us how you're redesigning circuit boards and all that, and then you haven't got a clue what's going on in Discord?
When we did Jackbox, I'm sure you did it that way.
Did we? Oh, maybe I forgot about that.
You set all that up.
maybe that's a video. Okay. No, yeah, I set up a group share of the video, but I thought was in a chat. Like I remember I sent the video out in a direct. Oh, I don't.
Yeah, that was like a group video call type.
Okay. God, but anyway.
I know it's the. Oh, sorry. Go on.
Anyway, like I kept. Well, I caught my daughter on with her iPad, and my daughter's not allowed her iPad upstairs. in a bedroom when she's supposed to be sleeping, because we know she's not going to be sleeping. She's going to be watching YouTube or anything like that. And the
other parents have no idea what you're talking about.
Was it Saturday or Friday? It might have been after the podcast. I randomly saw my daughter pop up on my online Discord. I was like, right, what's she doing? And I looked around and I couldn't see that she'd jumped into any other chat. So I sneaked upstairs and she was chatting. I was like, how is she doing it? And so, yeah, I found out that she doesn't actually use any of the chat areas. She just has a listen. Like, they have a big group message chat between them. Because I thought, aha, I'll see who she's chatting to and when she's chatting to on my Discord. But no, she doesn't want my dad. She doesn't want me to see who she's talking to.
Yep.
Like a 10-year-old girl would.
Yeah, but, well, this is where we are with it. We were driving back last Saturday from taking the dog for a walk, and we wanted to see if the kids wanted, we were grabbing some lunch out. So we said, oh, we'll phone the kids. And my wife said, oh, well, I don't know if they're going to hear the phone because they're downstairs. Cause the phone downstairs isn't working anymore. I said, don't worry about that. Here, just ping them on Discord. Here you go. Here's my phone. Because that's the way I contact my children now, is Discord on my cell phone. Right. And I send them messages, or if I need to get them up, if I need to get them upstairs at the end of the night, I have to send messages on Discord. Really weird.
Yeah, you could chat them though. You could video call or voice chat them directly.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, I knew I use the message quite often. I quite like sending messages and little links and stuff to people. But I've never really like used it to chat directly to somebody. Or I had, apparently. I used that video call.
He's just completely forgotten about it.
Okay, Steve, let's have the guest say something.
Something. All right, so, okay. Games playing? I brought shame on my house. I'm playing Destiny 2 again, and I apologize.
Oh, so, don't apologize. Yeah. All right. Dave and I are off. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, really. Doom Eternal DLC came out, so been doing that. Not sure if you've checked that out. The Doom Eternal DLC, The Ancient Gods Part 1.
I've seen it's out, but I haven't played.
It's really good. It's really good. So check that out. I've been playing some Galactic.
Hang on. Can we go back, please? So what is the DLC? It's not multi, because if I remember correctly, Doom 2016, all the DLC was like multiplayer DLC, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's why Doom 2016 isn't as good as Eternal, but...
Oh, you know, hey, he's carrying over the argument from the other day.
Yeah, exactly. See, we're right back to the game of the year. Anyway, so that's why Eternal's better, because it's single-player DLC.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just a big campaign. Apparently, it's only over three levels, but the levels are absolutely massive. So I just started that. I can't really comment on it much. That it looks like there's more enemies and different ways to take them out, and it's just more chess pieces on the board, so to speak. It's interesting so far. Looks great. I'm playing it on the PC, and it works great.
Do you buy it? It's not free DLC, is it?
No. It's actually, what's interesting is you don't need Doom Eternal to play that.
Oh yeah, I heard this.
Yeah, you can just drop your $19.99 on the DLC and just play that without ever having bought Eternal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which I thought, hey, that's probably a good way to do DLC, actually.
Yeah. You know,
just have that.
Why restrict the game, DLC to people that own the game?
Exactly. I mean, really, why hasn't anyone done this before? It seems it seems obvious, really. Yeah, so I was impressed with that. The other thing I've been playing... Been playing some Galactic Keep, which I don't really bore anybody. Factorio, playing a lot of that now. Dave,
that's the game. Yeah,
right. Dave's your man now.
Yeah, see, right. Factorio. I mean, I don't want to talk about it too much. I'm doing a lot of squeaking on this leather chair. I'm not sure if it's going. I'm doing a lot of shifting on this car.
I assume that was Neil, to be honest, but
That's fine.
I've been muting my thoughts.
So, I don't know if you've covered this before, but Factorio is like straight up maths for math people.
Oh, yes. That is all about getting the ratios and timings right between production.
Exactly.
Sequences. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So I'm not sure. I mean, have you talked about this before?
I think I've spoke about it.
Dave probably talked about it and we switched off. So you did.
You carry on, mate. I'm happy.
Anyway. So it's really smart. It's made by Germans, so you know it's very precise and it's accurate. So and it's efficient. So basically, visually it looks a lot like the old Command and Conquer games. Like it's a top down, slightly isometric 3D. Well, it's not 3D at all. It's all 2D graphics. Mm. And the premise is that you're a dude or a dudette. In fact, you just got a helmet on. No one knows. You crash your spaceship on a planet, and you have to go from this particular state, crash on a planet, don't have anything to my name, all the way to launching a satellite, a missile with a satellite on it, so you can communicate home. That's basically the A to Z of the game. Now, inside of that, the way you do that is by building a factory to basically manufacture the raw parts, like straight up pull coal, iron, and copper and stone straight out of the ground, and basically pass that through a series of machines and upgrade your technology as you're going, so that you can build more sophisticated machines in your factory, and then you pass the elements through those, and ultimately to create science packs. That's the way that they handle. We've reached this particular type of technology. That's the analogy that they build in the game. It's like, okay, I have red science, which is like basic stuff. I can build a conveyor belt and things like that. And then you have green technology.
Blue.
Then
is it
blue
and green? Right.
No, it's green. It's red, green, blue, and then after that, it's optional. It's purple, but then there's a black one for military that you can skip if you want to, and then there's white once you do. Anyway, so to create this, they build this weird ecosystem that makes sense, kind of.
Well, your factories produce pollution, doesn't it?
It does, but I mean, to be fair, I mean, this is the way I play all of those games. My focus and my enjoyment is on the creation of the optimized factory. So, like... Right. I usually go sandbox mode. I don't even have a dude on screen. I just okay, how can I build this? Sometimes I play a sandbox where I have to research everything in order and start from the beginning and work up. And other times I'll just have a sandbox where everything's already unlocked and it's just a case of building the optimum factory. So that's more end game stuff. But so basically it works very roughly in like this. So you put a mine machine, a miner that works off of coal. So it's like a coal fire fueled mining machine. It digs up copper, and you can put another one on a patch of what is it? It's not platinum. It's steel. What is it? What is that stuff?
Iron.
Iron. Thanks. So, and then basically you run, they output, every machine has an input and an output, right? And it'll input the stuff from the ground. It'll output it onto a conveyor belt. Of course you have little grabby arms that do this for you, but ignore that for now. So then the conveyor belts, you want to run to a slightly bigger set of machines that convert that ore into something else. Now you can build smelters that convert iron into metal plates, and then you can melt that again to turn it into iron steel kind of bars, and then you can do the same for copper. You can turn it into tin plates and copper wire, and then you're like, okay, now I need to start researching. So it's like, okay, I want to research the first step of science, which is red science, which just, it doesn't mean you can research much, but it's just to get you enough off the ground. It's like, you know, little grabby arms, it's stuff like things to make your factory more efficient and better and more capable, right? So it's things to scope and kind of grow out. So you do that, and then it's like, okay, so you, in order to get red science, you need to create, you build a machine that is called a fabricator. That's pretty much the core of this game, is the fabricator machine, which again, everything has inputs and outputs. So like, and you can tell the fabricator, just make red science packs. And it'll say, okay, for that, I need things to input. And I need those inputs to be like a copper wire and an iron plate.
Yep.
And if you give me like two iron plates and a copper wire, I can spit out one science pack. So then you've got to go back to your original machines that are pulling the ore out of the ground. You've got to smelt that stuff, and you've got to feed via conveyor belts and grabby arms, feed that those ingredients into the fabricator so that it spits out a science pack. And on and on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. It gets extremely complicated as time goes on. And then it becomes a case of, okay, you've got to scope out, you've got to plan your area properly. And you can build blueprints that put a ghost image of things on the screen, so you can kind of build and repeat the same image. Mm-hmm. But I swear to Christ, like, you're doing this and after a while you realize, like, the this whole conceit of iron and ore and coal and conveyor belts and manufacturing stuff and smelters and fabricators, this is all just an analogous. It's a way to teach you how processing in computers work. And it's basically inputs and outputs. It's a case of like ETLs, like extract, transform, and load. Like, it's all about converting inputs and outputs. But when you look at your map, like after you've been playing for a while, you hit M to look at the big map, and I swear to Christ, it looks like you have a circuit board like in front of you when it kind of gives you the top down. It's really interesting, but again, it's a very specific audience that it's good for, and it's not good for anyone that's not interested in that.
it's one of those where a simple thing that you've either missed or you haven't set up correctly will break the whole system.
Yeah.
And working backwards through why it isn't working is what I think is the interesting part, is that, okay, this part isn't working because, like, I haven't set the production correctly, or I've set the wrong input onto this line. So you put it all back and you like rip half of it out and then put it back in correctly. And like, as you're saying, like, I remember playing this the first time, even the part where you've got the bits that are pulling stuff off the line, what they're called again,
the inserters.
Inserters.
Yeah.
You've got multiple different types of inserters. So you can have a short inserter or a long inserter.
Long one,
which takes off a line that's directly next to it, or the one over. But to actually get those inserters, you've got to create a factory to create inserters.
Right.
So, and then...
And on and on, right?
But not only on these lines can you have... each conveyor can not only have... It can have two separate things attached, like, on it, and you've got to create the lines to put in an input on one side of the line or both. Some of these processes, you've got like three or four actual different ingredients that you need to put into these factories to create the output. But
you got to make room for the output somewhere, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, like, this is I'm sure I've talked about this game, but this is my bag, this game.
it's exceptionally well realized for what it is, which is an abstraction of all of ore processing and logic controllers and gates. Like, it's it breaks it all. It kind of dresses it all up as a factory, but it's actually an extremely deep logic puzzle. And basically the goal, which is weird, but the goal of the game, and I said this on Game Punches a few months back, was the goal is to make the gameplay itself.
You're trying to
you're automating everything, right?
Play as least as possible.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, I could walk my man over there and dig the coal, and once he's got like 50 coal, he can walk over there and put it into the machine. Or I could build a mining machine that pulls the oil, or the coal out, and put an inserter that takes the coal out of there and puts it on a conveyor belt, run a conveyor belt over there, and put another inserter that takes it off the conveyor belt and puts it in the other thing, right? Yep. And you know, scope that out, like expand that out to like about 10, 12 degrees, like much larger, and that's pretty much the complex design that you're working with towards the end game. It's really impressive what they've done. Anyway, that's enough about that. the only other thing I've been playing, which I wanted to mention because it doesn't really get much airplay, is World of Horror. Have you played this?
World of what?
World of Horror.
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 Never heard of it, mate.
Oh, well.
Go out for me, wait a minute.
Did life give us Bellamy's in this show?
Maybe.
You got to make the lemonade.
World of Horror.
Right.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I might get a little bit, you know, a little bit emotional on this one, but it's there's certain games that they're like from way back that you remember when you played them. It was like, you know, they're cozy, right? They make you feel warm. It's like the cup of tea at 11 o'clock on a Thursday in a dark room, and you're really into it, and there's layers of the game, and you're really into it. You sit there with a mate, and you're trying to figure it out, and it becomes something that you talk about nonstop for like weeks. This is that kind of game, but it's like it's happening now. It's the graphic style is like a little, they call it Wombat. It's essentially just like MDA, which is like, I can't even remember what that stands for. It's like the old, it's before EGA, CGA, MDA, which was like monochrome display adapter, I think, for PCs. And it's just got a very specific way about it. The sound is amazing. The whole idea is that it's a Japanese horror adventure game that plays out kind of like a board game. And it has the kind of busy screen full of different windows and interfaces that kind of, you know, like the actual game area is small, and all of the information and options and everything else and all of the gubbins is around the sides, and they kind of eclipse the actual gameplay area, kind of same as Papers, Please, right? It's same kind of feel.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like an eldritch kind of H.P. Lovecraft situation. You're sent to a town in Japan where strange, you know, goings on have been reported. People have gone missing. Pets have been, you know, turning up dead, that kind of thing. And it gives you a choice of so many cases to investigate, right? And it plays a lot like the newer style board games, which I'm not that keen on, to be honest, when it's a board game, but in this type of version, I don't mind. It's like, you know, those games that are out nowadays where like, okay, you're in the, you move to the study. Okay. Do you want to search for ammo or do you want to search for clues? Or it's kind of like that, but it's a little bit more interactive because of course it's a computer game.
Is it more suited to it being done by a computer, right?
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, this wouldn't do well as a board game because the entire aesthetic and the vibe, it's so full of mood, like the vibe
really
that it's giving you.
Confusing on a screen to me.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. It's like, it's full of these, like, it's a very crowded screen. There's a lot of like esoteric symbols and things that you have to work out in each status screen. It requires a lot of the player to kind of learn how it works. But it does teach you it's actually got a small, like, investigation that everyone goes for. I think it's like the lady with the scissors. I can't remember what it's called. Something like that. And it teaches you all, like, all of the windows and what everything does and all the icons and stuff. But there's just something about just clicking the room light off and playing this and just letting it wash over you. It's just so moody. I just love it. It's kind of like Galactic Keep in that way. It's got a retro, like, mood to it that really, like, wormholes me right back to when I was a kid. And I just can't get enough of that. This is just specifically me stuff that I love. I'm not saying that anyone else is going to have the same experience, but that's, I've been playing that because that's how I get my enjoyment out of it. And that's pretty much all I have, really.
Cool. That is on Game Pass, by the way.
It's what?
Is it
on Game Pass on PC?
Oh shit! Really? Oh nice. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Check it out. Good it's time. Not for everybody, but it's really interesting.
Neil will probably be playing it to unlock some Game Pass points.
I don't know if there's any achievements.
Is I think I've downloaded this. That's pretty neat. Yeah. Oh, well, I can definitely
it's
have
early access game preview on Game Pass. So,
yeah, okay. There's been a few DLCs, even though it's still in early access. But yeah, it's worth a look, if nothing else.
Okay. Mm. All right. Good. Okay. Anything else?
No.
No. Okay. Then, without further ado, let's move on to Neil's news.
Can you not call it my news?
Yeah, it's Neil's news. It is your news. Okay. You've owned the news for ages.
The fucking news has been a bit shit. Basically, the big news was the
Neil's shit news then.
Yeah. There's not been a lot of news. People are getting PS5s today, I've seen.
I saw a shop got its demo PS Xboxes today, not PS5s.
Well, yeah, people in the, you know, in the biz are getting their PS5s today, apparently. So I don't know what they're allowed to talk about, but I'm guessing you're going to find out a bit more in the next week or two.
Just staying on that. I mean, none of us have pre-ordered anything. Steve, you've PS5?
Not a chance. I'm trying. It's not like the old times, the olden times. The E3 would happen, right? And E3, they'd announce the thing. Yeah. And then an hour later or something, it would be on Amazon for pre-order. And I'd just pounce on that. And I pre-order everything because, of course, Amazon doesn't charge you until they ship it, right? So it's time to save up from June. But like this time, there was no real E3, so there was no real announcement. And then they did kind of announce it, and then they fucked it up. And then, you know, all the scalpers got them. And I don't know what's going on. Basically, all I've done is I've got like a price watcher bot running so that any time, like the thing is like with Amazon and Walmart and all the others here, at least, if it's out of stock, the price is zero. So you can set like basically all these apps, they don't like tell you when something's in stock. They just tell you when the price is hit what you want. Right. So I just set any price at all for the digital and the regular and also the Xbox, whatever they want to call it these days, Series X. And I've set a watch for all of those. So the minute any of that happens on Walmart or Amazon for anything under $1,000, because why not? Then, I mean, they'll come in at retail, but I need to know the precise moment they come into stock so I can pounce on it. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
So you are on the hunt for either of them, both of them?
Both eventually. Right now, I kind of want the PS5 more because of Demon's Souls.
Yeah. That's the only reason to get either of them, I think, at the minute.
Yeah.
At launch.
Although, to be honest, I've been playing Destiny 2 on the PC and that's 60 FPS. Oh, going back to the Xbox One.
Do you play on a controller on the PC?
Actually, I do. And I'm still wrecking house.
Yeah. I was fine with a controller. I played shitloads of Destiny 2 on Xbox.
And you were playing competitive, weren't you? You were playing
I was playing
PvP.
Like the Crucible on controller on PC. And it wasn't
that's
really
all I'm doing right now. Yeah. That's all I'm doing right now is Crucible because I've got to get my glory up.
I haven't played it for ages. Granding so glory, now when I go back to it, I know I'm absolutely dog shit.
Just hold off until that new DLC. Start again.
Well, who knows? I don't know how it's working, is it? Is that going to be free? I don't know.
No, it's going to cost money. That's a sidetrack. I'm sorry. I apologize. Sidetracking from your next gen news.
No, it's fine.
It's all right.
There's not a lot of news. Like
shit news. When you're listening, it's shit news. Oh,
sorry. Sorry, I should have done better.
Start with Kojima on the news, because so you might actually be interested in that. There's a new game coming, apparently. They're hiring.
Who cares?
You don't like that? You like Kojima?
Well, he didn't deliver, really, did he, with Death Stranding?
No. I mean, he delivered Kojima, an idea. Right? It was, but, you know, that's not enough to charge people $60 for it. I mean...
Well, maybe his next one might be $60, who knows?
I mean... I paid full price for Death Stranding. I've never felt the same since. I mean, really.
Did you buy on PS? PlayStation?
Yeah. It was on launch. I got it. I was like, oh, I've got to get into this. Because, you know, it was mysterious and interesting. And it's Kojima. And, you know, the whale and the sleeping and the whatever his face is. Daryl of Walking Dead or whatever.
Oh, look at his crotch.
Yeah, of course. You know, all that stuff. And I... but it really is just a game about walking across everywhere. That's not even hyperbole. That's not even like comedic, you know. You know,
some people
smacking
love it,
around.
Yeah. Some people who really got into
really?
It. I don't know. Some people have like really got into it.
I just love that. I challenge that. I'm not sure anyone fully realizes like what kind of game that is. It barely
put that out to our three listeners. Did anybody, you know, have you got something to add? Did anybody like it? Because I saw it was on sale and I was like, with my $10 Epic. Yeah, with the $10 Epic coupon.
Here's the thing. What it did, I liked. But there should have been more around what it did and there wasn't anything. So it was a series of ideas that, yeah, I mean, they were full of the Kojima, like 20 layers of meta for no reason. Like the walking thing, there was way too much detail in that. But that's because that's all he had, right? And I get that. But at the same time, don't sell a walking game for $60 because that's what it was. This was a $60 bunch of ideas. That's what this was. And I respect the ideas and I respect his vision and I respect his ambition. But the bottom line is we were sold a game that was barely a game for $60. I still take issue with that.
That's like against the whole likes and your road building and ladder leaving and all that stuff.
I did a little bit of ladder and rope leaving. I used other people's roads a bit. I didn't get that far in the game to make my own. But I mean, really, the thing is, the roads. If you think about what the roads were there for, the roads were there to build over the problematic areas, like, and that's about 40% of the game right there is dealing with those things. So it's like there was a mechanic built in to deliberately avoid what little gameplay there fucking was in the first place. Like, I'm confused about that whole Death Stranding situation. I think it should have been a movie and he shouldn't charge us $20 for it and that'd have been the end of it. That's my take.
There wasn't like the stupid massive long cutscenes and all that, or was there?
No, I mean, there was some cutscenes, but they weren't long enough and the quality wasn't there. They were in-engine a lot of the time. Sometimes they weren't. But, you know, Die Hard, man, and that French actress and everything. Who cares? Game. Like, yeah, but I don't mind that because, you know, you got Liquid Ocelot and all this bullshit, like, from the other stuff. I don't mind Kojima nonsense. I love Kojima nonsense. I drink that in. But, you know, that's when there's a really good game to back it up. You can't just give me all the nonsense and not give me a game for it, like, to at least to enjoy it and put it and frame it well. Anyway, I've been drinking too much.
Brilliant.
So yeah, we look forward to that then when it comes out.
Here's a question then. I mean, is there any? Sorry, but do you want to read that piece of news? My question is: I've heard some murmurings about remasters of Metal Gears.
Metal Gear.
Metal Gear Solids.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know whether anyone heard those rumors.
I think they did them before, didn't they? Well, I didn't
need a remaster of the first one, Metal Gear Solid.
Do you though? Or is that so old? It's.
Yeah, that's why we need a remaster.
What are they going to do to it? Are they going to ruin it completely by remastering?
Probably. Yeah, we might, you know, have a go.
Would they have to completely like do a Resident Evil 2 remake on it? Or
I think they'd have to
probably.
Probably rebuild it, and they were talking about a company doing it. I haven't got the news, unfortunately, because I didn't. But
you
somebody
could have put
who,
the news in,
somebody
you?
Who, yeah, I could have done. It's not my news, because it's not Fraser's news, though, is it? It's Neil Shit news. never mind. But I think I heard there was a company that had done some work on some of the Metal Gear stuff or whatever, so that they were going to get. Maybe it was companies that remastered 2 and 3 for the Xboxes or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Why did they not do the first one when they did those others?
Don't know.
Weird, anyway. Right, yeah. So you mentioned it there about Epic of a sale on Death Stranding. That's not the only thing that's on sale on Epic. They've got a Halloween sale, but it's not like all horror related. There's Red Dead 2 on the cheap. And like I said, if you've got your £10 or $10 or whatever coupon, I think you can still do that Rocket League thing. If you haven't already claimed it, you might be able to still do that and get a coupon. Yeah, there's some pretty good deals.
Actually, Control's...
Control Ultimate Edition.
I'd like to play Control. Did you play Control, Steve?
You played it, didn't you, Neil? I played it, yeah, and I liked it a lot.
I'm very aware of it, but
yeah, I've never played it.
But I liked Lovecraft Country, you know, so you can't trust me. I can't think what else is on there now. There was
Maneater. I'm waiting for Maneater to come to Game Pass. I really want to play that.
Oh, that's the
shark one.
Shark one, yeah.
That's about it.
Hades was the one I've been playing. That's like, you can pick that up for about £5 if you've got the coupon. So that's definitely worth a fiver. Apparently Humble Bundle or Humble Store is doing another Halloween sale. I haven't looked at that one, but there's going to be all sorts of sales, I assume, in the next couple of weeks. Probably loads of horror games on sale. But yeah, the Epic one has definitely got some big guns on there as well. And there's some stuff about Ubisoft. They're changing Uplay on the PC. So it's going to be called Ubisoft Connect, and you're going to have cross-platform play and cross-platform progression for some of their games. A raft of upcoming games, and I believe some of their old legacy games. I don't know when this change happens. It launches alongside Watch Dogs Legion on the 29th of October, so in a few days. I can't believe Watch Dogs Legion's out in a few days. It doesn't seem like there's much fuss about it, to be honest.
No.
So what's changing is the new loyalty program or whatever, because you used to basically get points when you bought games through Uplay and they could use them to get discounts and stuff like that. So that's all going to switch over to this new thing. But the big thing is you're going to be able to play on Xbox or whatever and then play on PC and your progression will continue on another platform. Doesn't say you're going to be able to, like, you're still going to probably have to buy the game multiple times to get that to happen.
Yeah, but I guess they're doing this now. Like, you have an account with us, and so somehow through the console or the PC, we take the state of your game into our servers.
Mm.
And next time you log in, it doesn't matter where we are, where you are. You know, you'll catch up to where you are. I mean, I guess that's great, right?
The problem is you're going to have to pay potentially quite a lot of money to get it on multiple platforms. But if you could buy a Ubisoft game for Uplay and it then worked on everything, that would be great. But it doesn't work like that. But it says the goal is to support crossplay for most of its multiplayer enabled games, while cross progression should work with its newest releases, including Hyperscape, which is free. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Immortals, Phoenix Rising, and Riders Republic. Not really. I don't know. None of them really are grabbing me, to be honest, that I want to play. Immortals is supposed to be all right, though. So, yeah, I was scraping the barrel big time on the news this week. There was some stuff about a potential new way of playing Xbox. They've been sort of teasing about a new tier of Game Pass and possibly being like a Fire Stick type of device that you plug into your TV to play Xbox Game Pass on.
Really? I've not seen that.
Like a Stadia for Xbox?
But yeah, there's like a... That was going around earlier today that I saw that. It'll be like a new tier. Doesn't say whether it'll talking of a platinum tier or something like that. And I guess you'll get some hardware with that, because you could buy the all access thing, can't you? So you could basically buy an Xbox with and pay monthly without paying anything up front, and you get your Game Pass bundled in with that. So there's going to be some sort of, what is it, 12 quid a month? I don't know, what is it, 15 US a month for Ultimate Game Pass?
I think it's 15, yeah, yeah. 15.99, I think. I could be completely wrong. I'm checking.
So out. If there was like a, I don't know, a 17.
Sorry, $25 a month for 24 months.
That's for the, with including an Xbox though, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry. That's yeah. the ultimate thing.
So if there was someone a bit less than that and it included like a Fire Stick Android-based device maybe that you just bunged in your TV and you could stream all the games?
Yeah. As long as it included the controller, yeah.
Well, I think you might have to buy... I don't know. They were talking about all sorts of hardware bundled, it said. So I don't know. You might buy it. You might get a controller bundled in. Like that's how the... I mean, I don't know how what it would connect to. I guess they got Bluetooth, haven't they? So it would probably just work through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how they're going to recoup this $7.5 billion they banged on Bethesda by creating new ways for people to buy Game Pass, which doesn't mean having to buy an Xbox. So.
Hmm.
See what happens there.
All right. Okay. Is that our news done?
That was the most exciting news I could find.
It was all right. We got some mileage out of it. It's all good. Up to the usual high standard. I think that we are done. That is a show.
That's over 2 hours.
Wow.
That's good enough for me.
I know. It goes quick. Like we're looking again. That's not a lot of stuff. Go through. And then we get talking. And yeah, 2 hours later, we're like, shit.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. So like it or lump it. You don't have to come back, listeners. we don't pander to them around here. So, Steve, thank you very much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed.
It's been great. Loved it.
Your stint. Cool. Would you come back? Would you grace us with your presence again? We'd love to have you again. So,
yeah, anytime. Let me know.
We will. Anything you'd like to add before you go?
Catch the Game Puncher show whenever we record another one. That'd be good.
Yeah, that's good. Gamepunchers.com. Yeah.
Gamepunchers.com, GamePunchersPod on Twitter.
Cool. We shut down the old Discord server today, and we have just the new SealPod Discord server is up. Feel free to come and drop in. If you need an invite, let us know. I don't know what's the best way to contact us through Twitter.
Pin tweet has still got invites available. Yeah.
What's our Twitter at Seal?
Christ almighty.
Well, it's been probably about 50-odd episodes since I even had to think about it.
It is.
See, you don't even know.
Well, I'm looking it up. I don't want to get it wrong. At Seal Podcast.
There we
on
go.
On Twitter. And it is pinned tweet to join the Discord.
Nice. Look how fancy pinning tweets. It's the real deal here. Okay. All right. Well, unless anybody else has anything else to add, I just want to say again, thanks, Steve, for joining us. Really appreciate it, mate. It's good to be online with you. I hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
And good. Great. And I look forward to hearing about you shutting your pool down as well. And whether you ever open it up again.
That remains to be seen.
He's going to fill it in the winter.
Okay, so thanks for listening, everyone. And then until, we're not here next week, so we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
All right.
All right.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Bye.
Good.
Did we do it? Is that a show?
That's
we done
a show.
It? Brilliant.
I've got to tell Craig to fuck off.
I can't remember how to do that.
Oh, my God.
You say
you've
Craig.
Done this about 50-odd times, Fraser.
Very good.